this is 19th. This is not February 19th, 2008. It's about 4 minutes after 8. And with us this morning, we have Representative Dahl, Representative Coggio, Representative Johnson, Vice Chair Bob Rose, and myself, Representative Bob Lynn from District 31. This morning on the agenda, we have HB 318, and the subject of which is relocation of special sessions. And there's no other comments at this moment. I would invite, and they're already there, Representative Gatto and his aide, Rick Vandekalk, to present the bill to us. And good morning, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. I've been in the legislature for, I think this is my sixth year, and I've been to probably five special sessions. So they're a fairly common event. And in order to have them, we usually have had one of them in Anchorage, and we've met in Anchorage some other times. But it's kind of an interesting thing last night that occurred that I thought it would be worthwhile to add to the conversation. And that is, we flew in last night, and on the plane was Representative Johnson, Representative Roses, Representative Lynn, myself, and in the seat next to me was the Commissioner of Public Safety. In the seat next to him was one of the directors. In the seat behind me was the Attorney General. And sitting next to the Attorney General was another director. Across the aisle was the governor, her husband, and child. And littered throughout the airplane were various members of the legislature and staff.
Plus Senator Olson.
And Senator Olson, right. And there were many of us. And I thought it was kind of like almost a world concept that we all originated in the same place, and we were all flying in this aluminum tube between Anchorage and Juneau so we could do the very thing that we could have done just as easily where we were coming from. The plane made a hard landing, and it was interesting, and it got everyone's attention, and I even commented that, boy, I wouldn't take off in this plane unless we looked at the bottom of that wing to make sure it doesn't have a whole lot of scratch marks. Mm. Then this morning, the radio was very clear to point out that there was a plane in Sitka, and it was not about to leave because Juneau was closed. These are some of the things that drive at least the idea that this bill about the special sessions, and as I mentioned, I've had several of them. They occur when the session is over, and so there has to be a time between the regular session and the special sessions, unless you had the previous governor, in which case they just stacked up one after another. But we all had the situation where we had housing during the session, because it's definitely the off time of the year. And during the special session, we had already given up, signed out of that housing, and had to beg for time to remain there. And if the question came up, how long will you be remaining here? We didn't know, because we could have another special session right after it. So I noticed in the building that when I was able to find housing with a family in Douglas. And when I would show up in the building, I would see some of our legislators walking down the hall with their shaving kit and slippers. And it was pretty clear to me that because the special session was in Juneau, many legislators were forced literally to live in their office. This is not only undignified, but it's unnecessary. And the question has come up about the one quick special session that we had in Anchorage, which was a seven-hour session, and there was a price tag of $100,000 on the cost of that seven-hour day in Anchorage. I looked at the numbers, Mr. Chair, and we transported a large number of people from Juneau to Anchorage for that one day and back again. And there's some numbers that I knew the answers to, and I looked at the airfares, and every single airfare was the same. The maximum possible airfare to go from Juneau to Anchorage and return was the airfare that was used in the calculation. It did seem to me that if you were trying to sabotage the idea or create the idea that a special session was very expensive outside of Juneau, one way to do it would be to pad the bill. And it did seem to me in the areas that I knew that the bill was padded. So with that, Mr. Chair, there is quite a bit of information that I've included in the packet. I wanted to make just the impression that I think the special sessions ought to be held somewhere else. And if not, the most important point of all, and this goes back to, I think, just yesterday. Yesterday, because it was the 50th anniversary of the university system, Matsu Community College had a celebration because they predated the university system by several months. And so we met there, and there were, I think, 60 people in attendance. I just can't imagine any of those 60 would have come to Juneau to do the celebration. They came because they lived in the area, familiar with the college, and could drive there. Special sessions really, since they're in the usually in the warmer part of the season, do lend themselves very easily for people to use their vehicles. And because it was what I think is well attended, I want to make sure that those people don't have to listen on a radio or maybe hear about it somewhere else, that they actually get to participate in their government. And I don't know anything that could be easier than to have it where two-thirds of the population are on a road system. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'm open to questions.
I just want to make excuse me, one comment there, Reverend Gatto. How many legislators were there on board that plane last night, both House and Senate?
I didn't do a count, but if you count legislators and administrators and whatnot, it seemed like we should have chartered the plane.
The thought occurred to me, and it was a horrible thought. you know, if that plane had gone down, we'd had about nine various legislators. We'd had the governor, the commissioner of public safety, and somebody else. And somebody told me on a previous flight, there's something like 14. Was that correct, Representative Roses? On board the same airplane. That's a scary situation. It could put the government out of control. And I don't know what would be the result of that. We may need, in some other legislation, look at something that can do some kind of a safety factor, you know, on that for continuation of government. Representative Roses, do you have a comment? Representative Dahl.
Yes, I
close that back window, I think.
They wouldn't have this in Anchorage. Wouldn't have any garbage pickup, I'm sure. At any rate, I my question is here. You do not designate where this would be, and I presume that could be at different places. Is that right? So it could be in Anchorage one time and somewhere else another time and so forth?
I'm not sure we would solidify it in one place. I think we might eventually, but you're right. The bill does not address a specific – it doesn't say Anchorage. It simply allows the session to be held on the interconnected road system.
Well, if that's the case, if it would be held in different places, then I would presume then that we would have to bring the logistics and the everything that is needed for that session to no matter where it is. Is that correct?
I don't know how to deny that.
Right.
The logistics being what they are, in some places logistics are already present. Typically, I wouldn't expect it to be held in Talkeetna. I wouldn't expect it to be held in Nikiski. I would expect it to maybe have a chance at Fairbanks and to maybe have a chance in Matsu and maybe have a chance in Anchorage. I'm simply looking at the reality of being able to accommodate the public. And if we held it in a smaller community, there would be no way to accommodate the public very well. So those are the champion places. I have a feeling that there would be a favorite place, and we would probably stay there.
And may I follow up on that?
Yes, please.
I'm trying to quickly digest some of the figures that you have on this page. And I'm asking a little bit of your assistance, if you don't mind. A 30-day session, could you give me a sense?
I'm not sure which page you're using.
Well, I'm looking at your figures that were passed out this morning.
Do you have a page number?
It's page 2 of 2, as I recall that he gave inside.
Part of the fiscal note.
You're dealing with the fiscal note?
Right. I guess okay. I'm sort of trying to balance what I got this morning, what I had in my notebook, and so forth.
Just gave us.
I guess what I'm looking at here is if you could help me, what would be, maybe I'm looking right at it, so this is where I need your help, what would be the cost of a 30-day session?
Mr. Chair, we have Carla Schofield sitting in the audience who prepared this document, or at least contributed significantly to the preparation of this document. And be my guess that if you want to know what it would cost for a 30-day session, the thing that's important to remember is that, like everything else, the first year is going to be the most complex year. And years thereafter are going to settle in easier. We are more than likely to at least consider that the first year might actually be in the biggest community that we have, and maybe not. But I think the governor would have some say as to where. But it isn't beyond the belief that there is already quite a bit of equipment located in the city of Anchorage that would deal with this, because that's where we have an LIO, that's where we're constructing court space and with additional space, and we have several commissioners that were on this plane that typically have their office in Anchorage. So there will be quite a bit of, and their staffers are there. And so it's my understanding that maybe Carla should be able to give us these data.
Right. Yes, I would appreciate that.
And let the record show that Representative Grunberg has now joined us.
Thank you.
Welcome. Would you care to have one of your people come up and testify on this point?
Sure. I'll just stay here with it.
I told you so.
Good morning.
Good morning. For the record, I'm Carla Schofield with the Legislative Affairs Agency. And I think through the chair that Representative Dahl's question was how much did a 30-day special session cost. The 30-day special sessions that we've had are in Juneau. And the current one we just had right now, and we may not have all the bills in yet, it ran about $800,000. The accounting system right now says $799,000. That's in Juneau. And our usual estimate for a special session is a $50,000 one-time cost, and that's to bring legislators to and from Juneau, and a $25,000 daily cost. They all vary. We've had lots of different special sessions. It depends on the subject. It depends on whether or not leadership wants to hire contractors. So that's how much a 30-day special session costs. In terms of the two-week special session, which is the assumption that we made based on Representative Mercado's request, that's still going to cost more money in Anchorage. And it costs more money in this fiscal note. We tried to be very conservative. It will cost more money, and I canvassed all the people that are responsible for putting on the session, and that's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, the chief clerk and the Senate secretary. And we have people in our data processing section. We didn't actually bring very many people to Anchorage for the one-day special session. We had very minimal staff. So we had legislative leadership staff who volunteered as pages. I don't think with a normal 30-day session that they'd be available to volunteer, because they'd be busy doing work for the legislators.
I hate to interrupt.
Yes.
But I think we moved that microphone just a little too close to her. So,
would we get your adjusted please here?
Sorry.
We want her to be well adjusted.
Yeah.
Should we do it all over again?
No.
No.
It's like that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry about that. But I noticed when she put her headphones on, she about...
Yes, please continue.
Oh, okay.
And you do not have to start over.
Okay. So I guess I could go over the fiscal note if that's would be what you'd
that
like.
That would be helpful.
Okay. So what's in the fiscal note is just the additional that it would cost if we had a special session in Anchorage. The two places that I picked were Anchorage and Fairbanks, because they would be, I think, the most likely place that we'd have a special session, since it needs to be on the road system. And that's because there's a place you could hold this building that we occupy, about 74,000 square feet in this building, that's for a full session. So the two places that I looked at were the Egan Convention Center and the Carlson Center in Fairbanks. So first off, I think one of the misconceptions about having a special session in Anchorage would be that that only the people that were in Anchorage would be working on special session and they would be the payroll costs. But actually, even though we only brought a few people to Anchorage, we had people here in this building who were also doing part of the transcribing. We also had the extra charge, and I put $26,000 there. We had to send some of our teleconferencing people and some of our data processing people up to Anchorage more than once to double check that we had the right kind of connectivity, that we could stream things over the internet. And so I think no matter if you had it in Anchorage and Fairbanks and the regular sessions were in Juneau, you would always have that sort of one-time cost where you'd need to send your technical people up ahead of you to make sure, and then they stayed through the session. The other cost that I have down there for personal services is the same in Juneau or Anchorage. On travel, it does cost less if you bring people to Anchorage than it costs to bring legislators to Anchorage than if you bring legislators to Juneau. But when you go to Anchorage, you would bring more staff. And I have 57 staff here, and that is because when I talk to every section in the legislature, that the chief clerk, Senate secretary, DP, records, information, and teleconference, because what we'd like to do, if it was optimum, is replicate what we have here for you so that it all works well. The one-day special session that we had, it was very condensed, and there was only one committee meeting. Most special sessions would end up with a finance committee referral, so it would go on at least 2 or 3 days. But this is a 14-day special session. So if you brought all the staff, they get that really brings, they probably cost another $30,000. And so the travel costs are really pretty much the same. The legislators cost 50 here in Juneau, but you would only usually about 14 staffers come to Juneau. So that's 58. If you bring everybody to Anchorage, you've got 30 for legislators and probably 30 for all the staff. But when you get to the per diem rate is higher in Anchorage in the summer than it is in Juneau. There are 28 legislators that live within a 50-mile radius of the Egan Convention Center. They get 75% of the per diem rate, which is what the Juneau legislators get here in Juneau. But you've got the additional cost of the staffers that you brought, because the staffers we're talking about bringing, well, we pay per diem during a special, we don't pay per diem to staff during a regular session. During a special session, if you're authorized to come, you're on a trip and you get per diem as a staffer. So with the staffers that you're bringing to Anchorage or Fairbanks, you would pay them per diem. So the per diem costs are higher when you're not in Juneau. So then the contractual part of this, the biggest thing is space. In both, the Egan Convention Center is a little more expensive than the Carlson Center. All this is subject to availability. It could be that a hotel might be, if we had enough room, that might be a good place. But you wouldn't know until you had a call, until you could figure out where you had space and what town would be available. Well, that would be on the call. So in Anchorage right now, the legislature is considering Block 39, which isn't big enough to house every single legislator. But if that goes through and we end up with a larger space for the legislature, there are conference rooms that we could use for the session. But that wouldn't be until 2010. And there's nothing like that in Fairbanks. And I would assume if you were going to do this, you would, well, anyway, you'd think you'd alternate a little bit. Okay, so we would have to, we did send something like 17 boxes to Anchorage with computer equipment and printers, things like that, that we needed during the one-day special session. If it was a 14-day special session, I'm sure it would be a lot more. All legislators have laptops now, and that might be what they chose to bring. They might, for office space, they might camp out in their hotel rooms or in other legislators' offices. We would have to rent copiers. We don't have the kind of copiers that our legislative print shop has in Anchorage or Fairbanks. So that's a cost. And I don't think that supplies would actually be any different if it were here or if it were in Anchorage or Fairbanks. The supplies would be different, but they probably the cost wouldn't be that much different. One of the bigger things we have is we don't have a voting machine. And if you have this is we're assuming like a moderate special session with moderate issues, which could be more than one bill, could be several votes. The voting machines keep track of the records, and yes, you can do voice votes, but it wouldn't really work that well for a long period of time. The other thing that's very important to remember is that there's confidentiality requirements for our legal services division. If people are asking for a lot of amendments, we have to make sure that only that legislator is the one that is privy to what they've asked for, because some of those amendments may never actually be offered. We have some FTR, which is our electronic recording equipment for the record staff, or if we're keeping the public record for the committee meetings in case a court case comes up and people need to go back and look at that. So there are some considerations, and this fiscal note is just an estimate. It really depends on the subject and where people want to have it and what's available.
So. Thank you. Any questions?
So,
Representative Dahl.
Yes, thank you. Would then a 30-day session would be about $1 million? Is that what we're looking at?
Well, the last couple 30-day sessions have been around $800,000. So it just depends on what the costs do vary. It depends on.
And that was in Juneau. So
that was in Juneau.
So we add the additional. So it would be over. It would be $1 million or.
It would be more. I don't see how it could not be. But that again depends on what the legislative leadership wants to have up there.
Any other questions? Reverend Gatto, you have some material here on delays, whether it's overflies, et cetera. Could you speak briefly to that?
That's compiled by DOT. Those are numbers. When you look out the window, you know that delays occur. They occur in Anchorage. There's not a doubt about it. Flights arrive late and leave late. But I think everyone here would probably acknowledge that Anchorage is a pretty dependable airport. Closures are relatively non-existent, and alternatives are quite available in the event of a closure. I did want to mention something else, if I might, and that is I would like to ask Ms. Schofield what the budget is for LAA to run the whole legislative process annually, if you would know that number.
I'd have to look give an exact number. It depends on which parts of the legislature you're talking about, and it depends on whether you're including some of our roll forward money, somewhere between 30 and 40 million. It really depends on which things you're asking about. If you're talking about the session budget, that's about $6 million. It's actually probably more than that these days.
Actually, what I wanted to do was compare it to the amount of money that we're talking about. There is an incremental cost, according to testimony, that perhaps in Anchorage it might cost more. If we look at that incremental cost on the basis of the entire budget that is used up in order for us to convene and vote and exist and process state business, and take a look at the voting districts, and giving for that incremental cost, if there was one, and whether or not that incremental cost would go to infinity as far as session after session, what's the value of having individuals look at you in the eye face to face for a testimony? People I spoke to generally say, you know, I don't mind calling in or sending an email, but I'm really curious about your reaction to things that I say. And they want to be a participant. And you'll say, well, we don't get thousands of people participating. Well, in a sense, we do. In a sense, we do. Is that me?
Not me.
It's me.
Not me.
I don't know how this stuff even happens, but.
Maple bars would be good.
Darn these things. No, that's all right.
What goodies does the committee wish to impose?
Maple bars.
Maple bars? Okay. I like bagels myself, but.
You don't get a vote in this.
There is another cost that we haven't even addressed, and it is such a significant cost. There are people that already visited me in the office this morning who came in from Palmer. They came in, they didn't come in this morning because they couldn't have, so they've been here a while already. What is the cost for the large majority of people who want to testify in front of committees in Juneau? Are they coming from the city of Juneau predominantly or southeast predominantly? Or are they really coming from the population belt? And if we are here to serve those people throughout the state, then that cost has to be considered too. And I firmly believe that since we've been, I mean, how did we arrive at Juneau in the first place? That was almost 100 years ago. It was because it was the center of commerce. And the center of commerce has shifted. And the center of population with the center of commerce is in a new location. That location, and in fact, this location in Southeast shows a diminishing population with time, in spite of the fact that the capital sessions are here and the special sessions are here. So, to me, it's really who we serve and how best to serve those people. And if we talk about an incremental cost of some thousands of dollars in hundreds of million dollars of $40 million, did you say?
That's the entire
list. Potentially a $40 million effort to serve those people. That's what it costs to serve those people. $40 million, and we're talking about some number in the thousands. Then I think it's not only something we ought to consider, it's something we ought to do. And that is make that association and that connection and that understanding between the people who put us here to represent them and the people themselves.
And I know there's been some confusion on a previous bill we heard on a related subject. This pertains only to the legislature and the special session in your bill, not the Capitol. The legislature only. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir. It simply says during those summer months when everybody has already left here to have to come back and hold an event here, and it's usually a single subject. As far as the complications and amendments and whatnot, we're not having committee meetings everywhere. It's usually a single subject. In fact, it's required to be a single subject. And we've had them before on fairly major issues. So for single subjects like that, I just find that it's incumbent upon us to address the issue in a place where the public certainly has better access to us. They don't have access to us during the session, but I'd like them to have access at least part of the time.
Reverend Nicago.
It looks to me like probably the heart of this bill is Section 3, where it's very directive that you can only have a special session on an interconnected road system. So the interconnected state road system, is there a definition that you have drug up or made up on this one?
Yes, Representative, through the chair, Representative Coghill. You know, I've had my own ideas that it ought to be on a hard surface road system. Some people have suggested that it be in the rail belt. I'm inclined to say the rail belt because I believe that does take into account the chief cities and makes it accessible. And it very clearly defines what we mean by the system.
So you're not really stuck on this language, and I was kind of looking for some definition with one of the other members here. The other thing is, here you're very prescriptive in only, and right now, as the law stands, the governor or the legislature can pick a location. So you mean to exclude that and narrow down the locations that they could. They could never have it in Nome. They could never have it in Juneau. It could only be on the interconnected road system as it speaks to now. That is your intention?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Suppose they build...
Thank you for the promotion.
No, I'll try not to be emotional. Suppose they complete the road that will connect Juneau ultimately to the road out of Skagway. Would that qualify then?
through the chair, with the ferry as an in-between portion?
Yeah.
Certainly would not.
So you don't consider the Marine Highway part of the interconnected
Correct.
System? So this would prohibit them from having this in Juneau?
I believe that's true.
Mr. Chairman.
Reverend Johnson.
Even though the ferry system might be an interstate or interconnected state road system, I would hesitate to think the part that goes through the Yukon and British Columbia could ever be construed as a state road.
Through the chair, but it's not clear from the draft language here.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, we can certainly change that to the rail belt. I think that really clarifies it as much as possible.
And may I ask Ms. Schofield then a question? Do you need to revise your fiscal note at that point to include other locations and longer special sessions? And if so, can you give me an estimate, or do you want to work on that too?
I'd rather work on it. I think, and if I understood your question, you're talking about if it was just defined as...
I'm sorry.
You
have a nice soft voice. I can't hear.
Oh, okay. I think I'd like to work on that. And is your question just the rail belt then? Is
that right. Well, yeah, at this point, yes, right. So I'd like to know what you've given is the cost for Anchorage, which may in some senses be the least expensive destination on the rail belt. I'd like you to look at potentially the most expensive and the longest potential session, which would be 30 days.
I can do that. I think it'd be quite a bit more because some of these towns wouldn't work for a special session. They're just not big enough for people to have places to stay or...
No, I'm thinking like Fairbanks or something like
Fairbanks
that.
Fairbanks is actually on here. Fairbanks would be a little bit more. It would be, under these assumptions, for 2 weeks, it would be $438,000 extra in addition, because these are in addition costs.
And how about if it's 4 weeks rather than the two?
Well, I guess I would double that for right now without really looking at it. I couldn't double it because of the one-time travel cost. So we took those out.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Reverend Cargo.
Thank you. One of the hard things for that discovery to be put up is, and I'm going to stand up for Juneau on this one, Juneau has been a very good host community in many ways, and so some of the things that they have done in hosting the legislature specifically, if other communities did that, we might actually be able to reduce that cost. So I would do a little arm twisting on this one. If we're serious about doing this, and I think we are, then we should talk to whatever community would be the possible beneficiary and start talking to their organized government groups and their nonprofits and see if they're willing to put up the same things that Juneau has. And I'm saying that in defense of Juneau because I don't like the only language in here. And I think I don't mind increasing the scope of where we might have a special session, which I think we already have in statute. But the interconnected road system probably is the way we'd have to go, or the rail belt. So I think we need to maybe define that. But I think practical terms already demand that. So I don't know that this bill is even really needed in that regard. So I guess my question then would be on his question on the fiscal note, would other communities be willing to step up?
I would assume so. I would certainly hope so. But I'd also like to make the point here that this is not about the people of Juneau or the culture of Juneau or anything like that. Juneau is a wonderful place. The people are wonderful here, very cordial, very hospitable. Done many things for the legislature. So it has nothing to do with Juneau itself or anything that goes on here. It's just the practicalities of where we. Might have a special session, you know, et cetera. But I have nothing but praise for the hospitality of the people of Juneau during the time that I've been here, and I probably much before. Representative Roses.
Thank you. Did
anywhere in your cost where you calculated what the 30-day session was, is there anything in there for automobile rental, or was that something the individual legislators had to pay out of their own pocket?
Through the chair, if you're talking about automobile rental for a special session, that is something that is usually approved, whether you're here in Juneau or in another place, if you don't have a car available and where you're staying is far from where the actual session's happening.
Okay. So
That wouldn't change. That wouldn't be
additional. So I think the operative term you used there was if you didn't have an automobile of your own. But if you had it on the road system, the vast majority of them would have an automobile of their own. And so I didn't see anything in here that indicated anything about automobile rental fees. And so I think there's an awful lot of costs that are involved that necessarily aren't reported because it's considered part of your normal expense. And so, but I think a lot of those would be deferred. I certainly would not have to ship my automobile on a ferry to get it to Anchorage or Fairbanks. I live there, and so it would be much less costly for me to drive my vehicle on the road to get to where we're going. Certainly would be less costly. You're going to have to learn how to operate that thing.
We're going to have food for the committee for the next 6 months.
So I think it's really difficult. I mean, and I can understand the dilemma you'd be in trying to put a physical note together because you're having to make assumptions that you don't know are going to be accurate. And certainly, if this bill were to pass, I would certainly hope that the legislature, because of the expense involved, would want to put this out on bid. Let the communities bid to see who wants to have the special session in their town, and I can guarantee you the cost would be driven down considerably.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker.
It's a logical mistake.
Article 2, Section 9, is entitled Special Sessions. The relevant sentence says, quote, special sessions may be called by the governor or by the vote of two-thirds of the legislators. It doesn't really say anything further than that. What I'm wondering is it's a well-established principle that one legislature cannot bind a subsequent legislature on such things as appropriations. What I'm wondering is whether this bill is constitutional in that it attempts in this legislature to bind a separate future legislature on where it may hold special sessions. Have you had and this is to the sponsor of the bill, my friend from Palmer, Representative Gatto, through the chair, have you had a legal opinion on that issue?
Representative Grunberg, through the chair, not to my knowledge. However, any special session requires the expenditure of funds, and whether or not it's binding on a different legislature to say we're going to spend a certain amount of money only in one location, and that's legitimate for every future legislative special session, versus we're going to spend the money in a different location and possibly a different amount, since the amount of money is not certain in any event.
Through the chair, that raises a second issue, whether this could bind the appropriations to pay for this. I think it's pretty clear it could not. I'm talking about the text itself, whether the current text, the authorizing legislation that attempts to bind where a future legislature could call itself into session would be. And Mr. Chair, I note the bill does not go through judiciary. I think we should get a legal opinion on whether this is constitutional in that it attempts to bind a future legislature.
Any response?
Mr. Chair, yes. I think this is a thin argument that is there only to maybe raise a question. But I think the question is certainly answered in the Constitution that simply says we may call ourselves into a session. And I think the implied implication is that it's going to cost money whatever we do. It's not free to hold a special session. It's not free to hold a session. It's not free to have us here. All things cost money, and we are not binding another legislature if indeed we call ourselves in or if the governor calls us in. That is the legislature currently convening, not a different one.
Is there nothing else? I'm about ready. I'll get Representative Dahl. About ready to go to public testimony here. Representative Dahl?
This idea of binding with that one word only. My concern is that if this session were to turn out a special session and it would be held almost immediately following the regular session for a day, 2 days, would we want to immediately say that we cannot have it in Juneau? Because it's not on a road system. So therefore, we are very willing to pay the extra costs, even for a one-day or a two-day, a half-a-day session, because it can only be held on a road system. And that's one thing that I wanted to ask, whether this is we really want to use that word only. I think that's a big one. The second part of that is that the exclusionary part of this in terms of sections of the state, that's excluding the southeast, that's excluding the western section of Alaska, the northern. And actually, we're only looking at two places. So I would like to just have you comment on whether that's a reasonable thing to think that if we're only going to have a day, why shouldn't we have it in Juneau and save costs? But with this only, with the word only, that would not be possible. And then, of course, the second, if you could just say something about the exclusionary part of leaving the rest of the state out.
Reverend Gunner.
Representative Dahl, through the chair. This bill is not about us. This bill is all about the public. And if indeed we needed, I'm sure there is sometimes, I need some help here. Are we required to have, can we have a special session immediately attached to the regular session? Or does there have to be a time delay of some amount?
Mr. Chairman.
I've been here 10 years, and I think 16 is the total of special sessions I've been in on. One of them was held outside of Juneau, and many of them were held immediately preceding the regular session.
Preceding?
Following.
Did I say preceding?
Yes.
Well, it was the next section, that's for sure. They were immediately following the session. I think we had 3 days to call ourselves in, I think, and I'll have to look at the law, but then it took a two-thirds vote. But a governor can call us in the next day by proclamation as long as it's given to us prior to our adjourning. That's going to be part of the problem of this exclusive language, I think.
Okay, if there are no more comments from the sponsor or his assistant there, I would go to public testimony at this time. And I'm going to start with, I'm going to start with Tammy Wilson, because apparently online. Tammy, are you there from Fairbanks?
Yes, I am.
Yes. Would you please give your name and association and speak to the bill?
Yes, my name is Tammy Wilson. I'm from North Pole, Alaska. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I just kind of want to give you an indication. I've been sitting here for 48 minutes listening to you in a room by myself looking at a black box. That's my experience, you know, so far. I want to tell you, you know, I think, you know, you're missing the point. The point is about the people. It's about the interaction that we all want to be able to experience, be able to talk to each one of you, see your reactions as we give testimony. I was lucky enough last year to actually be able to come down to Juneau, but the only reason I was is because Alaska Air had a special, and I also had a daughter down there that was working, so I was able to stay with her. But if I would have had to foot the bill at a hotel and a full airfare, there was no way that I would have been able to attend. And I think that's what this whole point of this bill is about. You know, I don't want to see you spend a lot of money going somewhere else. However, let's say it's going to cost you $438,000 more in Fairbanks. You're also helping the economy of another city in Alaska. Also, I know a lot of Fairbanks people were able to go down to Anchorage to the special sessions on the senior care and was able to come back and tell the experience, and people got more excited about being able to participate. And I think that's exactly what we're looking to. is to be able to take our children, let them experience the legislators, let us talk to you guys one-on-one, not to a black box on a table. It's just about opportunity, and we just don't have that opportunity in Juneau. I think Juneau is an awesome city. I think the work you do there is great, but it just, most of us are just unable to get away from work or from our families to be able to participate the way they want, they truly want to. And I just would really ask that you support this bill and allow all of us to participate. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any comment from anybody on the table? Representing Coggio. I had a feeling you'd have something to say.
Constituent, you have to say something. So thanks, Tammy, for coming out and speaking to the black box. The whole question on where the legislative session is, I think, is probably salient to what you brought up. And so I think that's a larger discussion, though. This one really says you can only have a special session on the highway system. And unless we move the legislative session, we could find ourselves in a situation where we have a regular session in Juneau, and then we must call ourselves into a special session outside of the Capitol. So it could be a real gear ratio problem. So just to let you know, we're still trying to work on this.
Well, you know, I appreciate that, but I also would like you to know, too, from this end, when you guys don't talk into the microphone, a lot of times we can't even hear you. So even if all we got was special sessions to come out, and I know there's a lot of logistics, it's still better than what we have right now.
Point well taken. Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you very much. Really do appreciate it. Is anybody, Virginia Stiver, excuse me, anybody else online?
Yeah, this is Vivian Stiver, Fairbanks, Alaska, and I'm calling, too, that I believe that the special sessions should be more accessible because they usually deal with issues that are people are passionate about in our community. I understand and listen to the cost issues. Me, I also had a hard time hearing with some of the microphones. I've been on hold on my phone all this time at work. But I think it is important. I think we always want more participation. And then people are more likely to participate if they can come see our legislators face-to-face. And the cost of going to Juneau is prohibitive for the majority, I would guess, of the Alaskans. And to be on the road system, it'd be much more accessible and affordable. And I'd like to support this bill.
Thank you, Vivian. Could you please identify yourself? You represent yourself or a group? And where are you located?
Okay, I'm Vivian Stiver, Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm a small business owner, and I sit on the Fairbanks City Council.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Ms. Stiver? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is anybody else on the line?
Was she testifying on behalf of the council
or
herself?
Yes. Vivian, were you testifying on behalf of yourself or behalf of the City Council?
She's gone.
She said herself. Okay. Anybody else online? If not, then I'm going to go to the folks in the room here. Richard Greening, are you here?
Yes. Two Greenings. There are two, Mr. Greening.
Well, I have Wynn Greening.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
My name is Wynn Greening. I reside at 3192 Pioneer Avenue, Juneau, Alaska. I'm the current chair of the Alaska Committee, and I think you're aware that that's an all-volunteer nonprofit group here in Juneau that is dedicated to improving and enhancing Juneau as Alaska's capital city. In times that I've appeared before this committee, I've spent some time enumerating some of the improvements in facilities and access that have occurred over the last 10 years or so, and I don't intend to do that this morning. I think you've heard it enough, so I won't go through it again. But I do think that because of all the infrastructure, offices, staffing, and gavel-to-gavel coverage that's currently existing in the capital city, it makes very little sense to try and duplicate all those facilities and incur tremendous cost and expense by moving the special sessions to another city, or cities, as has been pointed out in prior testimony. And this is even more true, again, as has been pointed out, when a special session occurs immediately following a regular session, when the entire legislature is convened in the Capitol and presumably could reconvene and easily take care of any special business. Gavel-to-gavel coverage is available and provides the greatest access to all Alaskans. I would say that the previous testimony that's been given, those people could be monitoring what's going on. They can see your expressions on television, in fact, better than they could if they were sitting in the back of this room. gavel to gavel has provided the kind of access that people demand. And at this point, it's not even clear it would be technically feasible to provide gavel to gavel coverage in another city that was not equipped for it. Also, despite the sponsor's contention, it's hard to understand initially in his sponsor's statement where any cost savings would be realized. Per diem, as you know, is paid to all legislators regardless of whether they live in the city where the legislature meets. And as has been pointed out, Anchorage per diem is much higher than it is in Juneau. The cost of renting space and all those have been enumerated, so I won't go through those again. But it's clear that the cost of providing a special session in another city is going to be substantially more than it is in Juneau. And that doesn't include, and nobody's mentioned up to this point, the cost, which now is incurred, of approximately $500,000 a year to produce gavel-to-gavel coverage. That, as you know, is provided primarily through the support of the community of Juneau. The math doesn't work. And I think that if you've seen the October 25th memo that was given to the entire legislature about the final cost analysis for the final special session held in Anchorage last year, the cost of that session was approximately 50% higher than a similar session that was held in Juneau in 2004. And again, even though it was 50% higher, those costs did not include any cost for facility rental because the Anchorage special session were given facilities for free. And there was nothing in there for gavel-to-gavel coverage, as I mentioned, because that capability was not available in Anchorage in last summer. So in the future, during a special session, will the legislature be able to rely on receiving no-cost or free facilities for 2 weeks or 30 days? And how much would that cost? And if you really want to increase access, how does holding a special session that is not televised or covered by gavel-to-gavel coverage do that? You've increased access for the several dozen people who may attend a special session in another city, but you've taken access away from thousands of potential people who would watch it on gavel-to-gavel. And if you try and recreate gavel-to-gavel infrastructure, how much will that cost? The community of Juneau, in partnership with the local public television station, has spent literally millions of dollars designing and constructing a system that is currently used, and none of it has been funded by the legislature. Miles of cabling, expensive video cameras, new production studios, digital switches, satellite link-ups, streaming technology, storage for archiving, the training of personnel, production of procedures, and so forth, and all the various backup systems that make this work. They're all required to make it run seamlessly. It will take a long time, and it will be very expensive to duplicate this and provide the same quality and depth of service that is currently provided on gavel to gavel. Yet none of this is considered in the bill that's before you. We are only provided a simple statement that somehow we're going to save costs and that the inference is that the legislature somehow will be more accessible. The sponsor points to the special session held last year as an example of how important this bill is. Yet the fact that a special session was held outside the capital city proves only that this bill is unnecessary. As Representative Coghill has pointed out, the legislature or the governor can make a decision anytime it wants to call a special session in any location in Alaska. You could call one in Anchorage tomorrow if you wanted to. All this bill does is limit the options available to either party to pick the best location. The irony here is that if a bill passed and that some natural disaster occurred in South Central, a volcano, an earthquake, a flood, natural disasters that have occurred in South Central in the not too distant past, you would have to pass another law to move it to Juneau, even temporarily. And that seems somewhat silly when time and cost savings will be realized in Juneau, especially during the most likely special session time frame immediately following a regular session. In conclusion, I urge you to hold this bill. Simply because it isn't necessary, it provides no additional authority to the governor or the legislature beyond what is available now. In fact, it limits existing authority. And if for some reason this bill is reconsidered, and I suppose there are reasons that we would want to have a special session in another part of the state, I'm not denying that. But I don't think we should do that without fully analyzing the costs and all the questions regarding gavel-to-gavel coverage. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions? We're about to run out of time here. Any questions? Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Randy Wanamaker. Is anybody else who wants to testify after Mr. Wanamaker? Okay, thank you, Mr. Wanamaker.
Good morning. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to you. My name is Randy Wanamaker. I live at 3814 Kilowich Drive, Juneau, Alaska. I currently serve as the deputy mayor for the city and borough of Juneau. We thank you for this opportunity to offer some comments regarding HB 318A, and we thank you for your service on behalf of the people of Alaska. Over the years, the Juneau Assembly has consistently supported both completion of the Juneau Access Road Project and funding for the Alaska Marine Highway System. To me, the Alaska Marine Highway System and the Lynn Canal Road will be part of the interconnected road system. The highway system is a part of the interconnected state road system. The Federal Department of Transportation shares this view and provides federal highway funds for various transportation systems across Alaska, including Lynn Canal Project and the Marine Highway System. If HB 318A is truly making the statement that the legislature considers neither the Alaska Marine Highway System nor Juneau Access part of the interconnected state road system, passage of this bill could hinder both federal or state funding for these transportation modes throughout westward and southeast Alaska. Is that what the legislature hopes to accomplish? Although the sponsor statement for HB 318A states the bill would provide the legislature the flexibility to convene where deemed most appropriate, efficient, and accessible to the greatest number and diversity of Alaskans, the bill would actually reduce flexibility. The legislature already has the flexibility to call a special session wherever it wants, as it did for the one-day session in Anchorage in 2007. HB 318A assumes that all future special sessions must have proximity to the most populous part of the state, and that this choice will always be appropriate, no matter what the issue, no matter what the circumstances, and no matter what unforeseen events overtake us. For example, the bill assumes that there is no project or issue in Alaska's future so unique to the people and resources of another region of the state that the legislature would never consider holding a special session in that region. Is that what is intended? Is that a wise decision? Is there truly no foreseeable event or natural disaster affecting Alaska's largest city or cities on the road system that might give us pause to say, let us keep the present law that permits the legislature to call special sessions wherever, in its wisdom, it chooses? These are not just rhetorical questions, but the real questions that HB 318A does not answer. The argument that a capital or a legislature must be located in the largest city or in close physical proximity to the greatest number of people is not one that most states have adopted. In 33 of the 50 U.S. states, the state capital is not located in the largest city. I mentioned earlier that the Juneau Assembly has consistently supported construction of Juneau Access and funding for the Marine Highway System. I should also point out that the Juneau Assembly has consistently supported the Kensington Gold Mine as a means of diversifying our local and regional economy. In fact, the Assembly has authorized the filing of two amicus briefs in support of the Kensington. We are doing our part to stabilize and diversify our economy. The passage of this bill will weaken our economy. What we as Alaskans need to do is to continue to improve all modes of transportation and communication for and between regions. I urge you to preserve the current flexibility the legislature already has in law to call special sessions wherever, in its wisdom, it chooses. I'd like to add that air travel to legislatures and sessions is very common in the lower 48, during my time as a member of the Environmental Protection Agency as legislative liaison, we traveled consistently by air, and the legislature did down there too.
Yeah, we're going to have to wrap it up at the bell to ring in more than once now.
Thank you for this opportunity to speak, and thank you again for your work on behalf of the people of Alaska.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Any quick questions? Very quickly.
This is not a question, but a statement I want to make, just if I could. And it goes back to the previous testimony about gavel to gavel. And I think you've made a very good argument for this to be in Anchorage because the technology exists today. They have mobile television facilities that go do hockey games. They go do all this stuff with 6, 7, 8 cameras. They can upleak the satellites. And the millions of dollars that you spend here is not needed there because it already exists in 3 or 4 places. So I just, you know, the gavel-to-gavel coverage to me is, although it's an issue, it's not, you know, it's not a deal killer.
Yes, I think maybe we get into committee discussion, we should bring
that
up.
I just didn't
again.
Want to let that go
fine.
A full and meeting without being stated.
I'm going to close public testimony at this point. On the schedule for Thursday, we have HB 54, Construction Legislative Hall, and HB 261, the so-called Clean Elections Bill, and we may, in fact, bring this bill up again to be first on the agenda on February 21st. Now, thank you very much. The bells are ringing. Let's get to session.